going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
It's all about taking a leap on the next star.
Penix, out of the pocket. Penix, pump, angle, pylon, touchdown.
There's Knicks going for the long ball. He's got a step on him, and the Broncos strike early with the touchdown to Franklin from 43 yards out.
This is a Draft Week edition of Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by A&E Plumbing, Heating, and Air. Get $2,000 off a new energy-efficient system now through May 31st. Call or visit aeheatingandcooling.com.
And this is why you don't want to play a Sean Payton team who has a young quarterback.
Draft Week with Danny and Dusty on 1080 The Fan.
Hour number two, Danny and Dusty with you on this Ross on Wednesday. Oh, yeah, brother. Hey, remember, get your team signed up.
Hey,
your local Toyota dealer presents the 11th annual Fan Golf Classic out at Langdon Farms Golf Club on Tuesday, June 24th. It's brought to you also by Henderson & Daughter Windows and Doors and Philbrook Law Accident and Injury Attorneys. We got a morning round, an afternoon round. You can pick from the two right now. You got your pick. You can go morning or afternoons. However, Stephen A. Smith, you better sign up soon, because the spots go quick. It happens every year. People are like, oh, I wanted to get in the morning round, but just couldn't do it. You get stuck in the afternoon or vice versa. Yeah, if you want a spot, make sure you get your foursome together. Start thinking about it. Get them together. Then you go over to 1080thefan.com, click on the Fan Golf Classic logo, and you can go and check out right there. Easy as can be. We will give you more details as they come along as to what we have going on the course, around the event. Matt's Barbecue, we do know, is going to be there catering the post-round meal. So no complaints whatsoever from anybody when Matt's Barbecue is involved.
No, it's usually when the round gets done and everybody gets over to the Red Shed and that food comes out, it is a mass piling on to the meats.
Food, bevies, all of it available for you. So let's have fun at the Fan Golf Classic out at Langdon Farms. And it's brought to you by your local Toyota dealers. The 11th annual. Can't believe we've had 11 of these so far. And we missed a couple of years due to the COVIDs.
Mm-hmm.
So it's back. It's running. Can't wait to see you all out there June 24th. Sign up, 1080thefan.com. All right. It is smokescreen season across the NFL, but
otherwise known as crap on player season.
Well, can I throw this one out there?
Mm.
Maybe we should. Maybe we should believe this one.
Mm.
I got an email today, and it said, hey, here are the draft odds, the over-under positions for some of the top prospects in the NFL draft. Shedeur Sanders over-under at the time the email was sent to me this morning at 8:02 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
Shedeur Sanders over under 9. Okay.
Which the Saints are picking at 9.
I went in, to my DraftKings app right when the show started. And on the DraftKings app, Shedeur Sanders over-under draft projection, 10.5.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Which, look, if Shedeur gets past the Saints at 9, which it does sound like is gaining momentum, I think he does fall into the 20s.
Yeah.
Because there's not really a quarterback. Like, you could say a team trades up, but I don't think this is going to be a draft where you trade up for a quarterback in the first round. I could be wrong.
Well.
But I just feel like he's going to fall, and the Steelers are going to have a choice to make it 21.
You have minus 450 at him going over or over 10.5 right there.
I mean, that's telling you that's probably at least 5 picks. It's maybe 6.
No, wait. There's more. Kay Adams. She has a screenshot up on her Twitter account from the FanDuel Sportsbook. The Shedeur Sanders draft position over-under is 21.5 on FanDuel, which is the Pittsburgh Steelers draft position. The over is plus 118, the under minus 168. So think about that.
That's a weird odd split.
You have... I think that seems pretty normal. It's minus 450 for him to go over 10.5, but minus 168 for him to go under 21.5 on FanDuel. Take with that what you will.
And here's the thing about whether it's NBA draft, and any draft, any of the top four, well, not baseball because baseball is so weird, but NHL, NBA, NFL. Do you remember the Orlando Magic, Paolo Banchero? Shams Charania thing.
Yeah.
How nasty that was. And like, oh no, they're really thinking about doing something. And then it just slammed the other way because it was clearly misdirection. And people were like, oh, this feels like, because at the time Shams was working for FanDuel.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, this
or
is
he was a part. Yeah, he's a partner.
Yeah. And it was nasty stuff. Like how quick it went the other way from his own intel.
Yeah.
It was like, I don't know about this. This stuff is intel driven. That's what this is.
Odds don't swing this much without something being there.
With something, they don't swing this much in any sport without intel from a high source.
Now, there is a lot of discussion, and I think rightfully so right now, about some of these top end teams wanting to trade back, right? You've got the Patriots have been reported to. They're trying everything they can to trade out of number four because guess what? If the Jags want Ashton Jeanty at 5, if the Raiders want Ashton Jeanty at 6, who's in an advantageous spot to take calls from Jacksonville, Chicago, and Vegas? Three teams right there all want Ashton Jeanty.
And then there's a couple other teams.
Dallas has been rumored.
There's somebody else in there too, but there's probably 5 teams that want Ashton Jeanty.
So at 4, they're going done. But if you're the Giants at 3, you could be playing that same game. I think they should just take Abdul Carter
and call it a
full
win.
Stop. Take Abdul Carter, and then in the second round, you can take whatever quarterback you're gonna want there, be it Dart, Shuck, whatever. You've got to just. Go play football with the Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston and do your thing. Be happy. You have that ability. Giants could be moving back too and just say, all right, but maybe we do want Shedeur. Maybe we do. But we don't want him at 3.
We don't want him at 3. And we want him, if we're going to take him, we're going to make sure we get something else too.
Yeah. And then that could be said for if New Orleans is sitting there at 9 and they're like, yeah, we like Shedeur. Nobody else behind us in the immediacy is going to take him.
Have you seen some of the mocks that have Mason Graham falling?
Yeah, well, everybody's falling right now. Well,
but I mean, what I wonder, if you're a team, if you're a competitive, let's say you Eagles this, when they took Jalen Carter and they just kind of fell to him. And again, they were coming off obviously a worse season. But if you're a competitive team and you're looking at Mason Graham and you're going, this is Jalen Carter all over again. A fantastic freaking player who isn't falling because of character, but just because of whatever. If you're one of the good teams, do you go, screw this? Like, we need cap control, high-level players. Let us move up to 9 if you're in that late teens area and you go, we want Mason Graham, And the Saints go, yeah, we'll take a second and swap a first, and we'll move back and we'll take Shador at 18 or 19 or whatever. Mm-hmm.
And you could still do it. It's a win-win for you.
Yeah, and I think that to me is how Shador goes before the Steelers, is if that situation happens. But outside of that, I don't think that – God, I just have such a hard time seeing Shador in Pittsburgh. I really do. Like, I know they need a quarterback, and desperation may force their hand. I just don't see him as a Pittsburgh quarterback.
Well, I just don't see him handling Mike Tomlin's coaching well.
No.
Because we were talking to anonymous sources and anonymous polls by, you know, Rick Carlisle defending Tyrese Halliburton. But Tom Pelissero had on all of the quarterbacks what round projections that they would be in. And the only bona fide number one first round draft pick was Cam Ward. Shador fell into the one or two range. And there are quotes from coordinators, assistants, executives from AFC and NFC teams. Some of them were positive. And I've said this multiple times, and I want to reiterate it before we have this conversation. Shador gets crapped on a lot and does not deserve some of it. But there's a lot of the stuff that is in here that Shador also gets propped up a lot by people. And it's like, what are you watching? Because it can't be full games of Colorado. You're just watching some cut-ups. Because there's been this discussion of, no, it's just his offensive line has been terrible. That's the reason why he took so many sacks. That is so incorrect. If you've watched them play, it is not just the offensive line. Shador has a ton to do with it. Mm-hmm. And in these, you know, anonymous quotes from guys, they said all of the things that are legitimate. Like, he is really good in a quick passing game when the scheme tells him to get the ball out quick. And he does have really good accuracy. And he does have recognition of coverages very well. And those things you can see as he is playing. He doesn't, he processes fairly well. It's just he holds onto the ball for really long time in the intermediate in the long passing game, which, by the way, gonna have to do in the NFL. You're not just gonna be able to nickel and dime guys all the way down the field. And look, this was a criticism of Bo Nix. But when you watched Bo Nix play football in college, he wasn't taking sacks because he held onto the ball too long. Actually, he rarely took sacks. Yeah. He would get the ball out.
Live to fight another day.
And it was, all right, can he be accurate downfield? Turns out, yeah, he can, right? Being a nickel and dime player is fine as long as you can process the intermediate in the long passing game as well. That's a legitimate question mark about Shador Sanders. But then there are some things that you go, oh boy. One of the longtime NFL assistant coach said, it was the worst formal interview I've been a part of in my life. He's so entitled, takes unnecessary sacks. He never plays on time. He's horrible body language, blames teammates. But the biggest thing is he's just not that good. It didn't go great in our interview. He wants to dictate everything that he's doing and what's best for him. He makes you feel small.
I don't want to boil my entire opinion on Shador Sanders down to one interaction. And he was younger, but we had him for Pac-12 Media Days the last year. And I have never, in doing this, whether it's football or basketball, had an interview or discussion with a player less interested in being there than Shador was. And yeah. I can very, very, very easily see how that impression would be made.
Yep.
Like, I mean, it is what it is. Now, there's plenty of people tell you that Shador is a great guy. He's incredibly charismatic. But I think he very much, if he doesn't give a damn, he doesn't give a damn.
No.
Mm-mm. And, like, it's very much a Rorschach test of, like, whether that matters to you or not.
Yeah. Well, here is one AFC coordinator. The dude's only played for his dad. When things go wrong, it's not his fault. He takes a sack. He blames his own line. He can make all the throws. He's got good accuracy. But does he lock in on number one and hone in on him? And does the offense tailor for him to read it out? Well, that's pretty true. Like, that's a quick game. You know where you're going. If then, boom, boom, really quick. But does his eyes in the intermediate and long passing game all of a sudden lock on to number one and you're going, dude, there's nothing you can do. There's other guys that are saying, look, he gets a ball out quick when it's thrown to number 12, but he won't have number 12, Travis Hunter, right? Another one said, this was an NFC executive. You can't have your dad saying, I'm going to come put a quarterback coach on blast who said you're arrogant, so he can't be criticized. It seems like his teammates like him. They back him, even with all the limelight stuff going on in a different card of the game. It seems like they back him a little bit more.
Well, and that's what I mean. I think when Shador wants to turn it on, he can.
Yeah.
But we also, the players that left the program weren't exactly singing his praises.
No. And that's the other thing, though, is that, yeah, the teammates may like him, but do they have a choice? Because everybody's been run out of Colorado that
didn't.
And that, like, you hear the former players all say that, you know, including the recruiting class that he brought in two years ago. All those guys left.
Yeah. How can you compliment my son?
Yeah.
That was a lot of the stuff that came out with that group for Deion.
He will be a curious case in the NFL because these guys are right, though. And it is fair to say, how is he going to be coached by somebody else? High school, dad was his coach.
Mm-hmm.
College, dad was his coach.
He's got a case of the tism, man. Nepotism. It is what it is.
I don't know if you can answer that question until he gets in the building. You know what he's going to be like when he gets money in his pocket.
Yeah.
And it's like, because he's had money in his pocket mm-hmm. his whole life. That's not a concern. And that is for a lot of guys in the draft process. This isn't it. It is, how is he going to be coached by somebody that is not his father?
And how is he going to be in a locker room when his father is in a shield for him? That's the thing that I wonder when his coach isn't his dad. Like, look, you can say I'm tightening my tinfoil hat. I think part of the reason why Shador Sanders got his jersey retired was not only because of his father, but to act as a shield against some other stuff and to keep him in the limelight and to keep things positive. Because the closer we get to the draft and the less that Deion and his group can control around Shador, the more negative it's getting.
Yeah. Some of it unfair. I think, though, a lot of it is fair. You can question how he's going to be coached by somebody else. You can question the amount of sacks he took and how much of that was because he wanted to have a good completion percentage,
mm-hmm.
how much of it was locking on receivers downfield. These are legitimate things. His arm strength and ability to push the ball down the field. Sure. Yeah, I think you have that with literally every draft prospect, with the exception of Jamarcus Russell, Josh Allen, and Patrick Mahomes. It was like, well, is his arm strong enough? Joe Milton.
Yeah.
Right? Other than that, those are the questions because it's really damn hard to do in the NFL. Push the ball down the field accurately.
The hit rate, not great.
Not great, Bob. All right. There is draft concerns around the injuries to one Oregon prospect.
Hmm.
Danny Dusty on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Draft gets underway tomorrow, and a guy whose name could be called is starting to get a little bit of this negative sound around him. Oregon's Derek Harmon, one of the top-rated defensive tackles in the class, is now getting labeled with injury concerns around him, which is interesting, seeing as he played in all 14 games for Oregon last season.
Does anybody have a picture of him in a gas mask?
No, that's not an injury concern.
Hmm.
But these are the ones that you just are going, okay, something's got to give here. Because if you look at his career, spanning Oregon and Michigan State, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Last year, 14 games for Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
2023 Michigan State played in all 12 games that they played in.
Mm-hmm.
Go back one more year, played in 12 games again for Michigan State. It's only his redshirt freshman year where he played in four games and could keep his redshirt. He played in four games that year. So he's been available, and these are one of the things where it's like, all right, it can't be an injury concern over something that happened at Oregon or really Michigan State, because he's been available and he's played. And will guys get injured? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Nicks, bumps, bruises. But the best ability is availability.
And he's been available for every game.
For every single one.
So this has to be one of two things. It's either the negative intel out there trying to drive his value down, or when he went to the combine, deep red flags popped.
And that could be it, where they find something and they say, it hasn't reared its head yet,
but you're
a ticking time bomb.
When you're talking about that stuff, it's usually one of three things. Feet, back, neck.
Yeah.
Those are the typical, like, look, he may be great right now, but we're looking at this. Locally, the one we talk about is Greg Oden. But one that was out there was Jabari Parker, if you remember him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I thought he was going to be an incredible player. Like, when it was between him and Wiggins, I was like, look, man, I think this dude is a dude. And there were some people in the league that were like, yeah, there was some stuff that showed up on his medicals that had some teams a little worried. And then ultimately his knees just ended up detonating.
What I find fascinating about this, and you mentioned another guy, there seems to be a lot of negative intel around the high-end defensive tackles right now.
Mm-hmm. Mason Graham.
Mason Graham. Now, Derek Harmon. Mm-hmm. It could be as easy, because you think of it and you go, he was available all the time.
Mm-hmm.
What could this be, right? Could be something in the medicals. Usually those pop up, though, almost immediately following the draft, because agents know those red flags pop up and they try to get out ahead of it and they say, not a big deal, this is going to come out, because it always comes out. Yeah.
Because
it's usually in the immediate aftermath of the draft.
And you spend your time going, look, he's been available for the last 3 years. It's clearly not an issue.
So I wonder if you have a few teams that are trying to devalue some of the... Because, look, this is a deep class of interior defensive linemen. And they're going, look, if we can knock a couple guys down a peg and flow some stuff out, we're going to get the guy that we want.
Mm-hmm.
And or if it's Mason Graham or Derek Harmon.
Or if those guys end up falling down, maybe it pushes some of the other guys down even further, and somebody further back ends up getting better value on another guy.
Yeah.
Like, this stuff goes like full-on espionage. It is a level of sabotage. I'll give you...
And it's dirty, because it's because you want him.
Here's the thing. Ace Bailey just declared for the draft, the Rutgers product. Oh God, I'll just say it. Jonathan Givony is out here carrying water, calling him a 6'10" wing. He's not 6'10". But that's the... Keep the bubble up higher.
Yeah.
Like, he's not a 6'10" wing. I'm very interested to see what he comes into the combine as. Let's just put it that way.
All right.
But, like,
They do their measurements in shoes, right?
Yes. And everyone is measured the same now, and everyone who goes to the combine is required to be measured. There's no more opting out. Everyone gets measured which I love, because it helps the database grow. But
do they check for lifts?
So, you know the story about, God, what was his name? White guy, Cole Aldrich.
Oh.
He had some.
Oh, he had lifts in his shoes?
Yes.
Good for him.
Yes.
You know, game the system a little bit.
Yeah. It was kind of a wives tale, and then I had an exec tell me, he's like, he absolutely did. Absolutely did.
They knew it at the time?
Later.
Later?
Later.
That's awesome.
I mean...
You know? Hey, it's the biggest job interview of your life.
If you aren't pushing it just a little bit, look, you can't go like 3-inch lifts, but half inch, maybe inch.
How many padded resumes get put in for jobs, right?
You know
what I mean? He's just sitting there like, oh, this is my resume. I'm going to pad it a little bit.
That's all he did, was add a little bit of padding.
That's great.
But yeah, I think if I remember, I'll check during the break because I've got my database. I think he was listed at like 6'11 and he was 6'9.
Oh, wow.
Or he was 6'10 and a half and he was 6'9.
Meanwhile, like Kevin Garnett and Kevin Durant are sitting there slouching down.
Yeah, like, I'm not 7 foot. I'm not 7 foot.
Definitely not 7 foot.
LaMarcus saying he's not 7 foot. I'm just like, get out of here, dude.
Yeah. Favorite quote was KG, though. How tall are you? 6'12. Mm-hmm. Why 6'12? 7 footers don't shoot threes.
Mm-hmm.
It's that easy. That's why they said it.
KD slouches and he still feels like he's 7 foot tall.
That is an outdated term now.
Yeah.
The quote now.
Oh, yeah.
But at the time, it hit.
Now guys want to be 7 foot because, like, look, I'm 7 foot and I can do this.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm a unicorn.
Isn't that crazy? That was a bad thing mm-hmm. against you if you were that tall and could shoot.
Because you were
going to
be a center.
Yeah.
Like, no. Because fours, they are like, all right, if you're four, we'll let you shoot. If you're five, get your butt down to the block.
Who do you think you are?
But it is very interesting. Again, my experiences on the NBA side, the amount of investigation that goes into it, like, there's stuff that's out there around Brandon Miller about the case that happened when mm-hmm. he was in college where somebody
died.
Shot and killed. And the amount of work that went into that by not only teams, but by the league, because they weren't about to let a guy in the league
who was
even going to lose a civil case, let alone the criminal case. And I know a lot of people said some nasty stuff, and people were kind of hoping in the league that it maybe knocked him down a couple spots. And it's like, you were messing with somebody's life.
Mm-hmm.
But there are people in leagues, I'm not just saying the NBA, in leagues that do not care.
Cutthroat, man.
And when you talk about the actual cutthroat nature of sports and the draft, this is the stuff that you're talking about. It's nasty work.
It's brutal.
So, look, I hope entirely everything that is around Harmon is all BS.
Yeah, we'll come to find out here in about a day.
Yeah, 27 hours, 27 minutes, and 5 seconds.
Wow. Until Roger Goodell gets booed mercilessly.
I want him to embrace it like David Stern.
He does.
Give him the make it louder.
He did that, and then he was like, that was a bad idea, because they're doing this all the time. Even when he'd bring out, like, the cancer patient. Like, boo, not you, boo.
No, they're saying Goodell.
Yeah.
That's what they're doing. All right, come up next time for our worst day on the web. And look, it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. If you are just one of the bros and you have a chance to name a disease that you have that is so incredibly rare, what would you do? But first, here's the Big Kahuna Sports Center update.
You ever had a Big Kahuna burger?
This is Draft Week with Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by A&E Plumbing, Heating, and Air.
On 1080 The Fan. It's time for today's worst day on the web. With Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Man, that sucks!
Just because you go to college long enough to become a doctor doesn't mean you get to be a doctor.
What?
Which is probably the only way that you're ever going to get to name a disease or discover something that is incredibly rare in a research project.
All right.
However, there is one person out there that has an incredibly rare condition.
Okay.
And basically, let's flash back to high school science and chromosomes. This guy has what they thought was stage 4 cancer. Instead, there are these caps that sit on the end of your chromosomes that get smaller with aging. He's in his mid-30s, and they're basically gone. And it's basically like a measure of how much longer you have to live kind of situation.
Oh, yeah.
And it protects your DNA and chromosomes from degrading.
What's that movie where everybody had the clock on their wrist? Had the guy from White Collar in it?
It's the Timberlake movie, right?
Was it Timberlake and... Was Jessica Biel in that one too? Or no, that was Amanda Seyfried.
I know what movie you're talking about, where he gambles with time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like the currency is how much longer you've got to live kind of situation.
Yeah, and the rich guys got to live longer, right?
Yeah, basically. Your currency was time.
Like, I'm
there was the line in there where they're gambling and he says, instead of you come from money, you come from time.
Yeah.
Adam Driver was like,
right?
Oh,
in
okay.
Time. Oh, In Time was the name of the movie.
No. I've never seen it all the way through. It's just been bits and parts when I've seen it on some service or some channel.
Dude, like, we were on it, man.
There you go.
Amanda
Seyfried.
Seyfried, Justin Timberlake, Cillian Murphy, Matthew Bonner. Yeah, dude, all of them were in it.
The NBA player?
No. No, the actor.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Be quite the crossover to see Big Red over there.
Would be. Yeah.
You could see it. Boban did it.
Boban was doing an interview. Gosh, I can't remember what the interview was. Oh, it was, you know, Caleb Presley from Barstool?
Yeah.
How he does those Sunday conversations. Mm-hmm. He had one with Boban, and he was like, teachers make an average salary nationally of $40,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think NBA players are underpaid? And he was like, do I think we're underpaid? He's like, yeah, you give way more entertainment than teachers do. Boban was like, well, yeah, I guess maybe we are.
There you go. Look, I've had actually quite a few random moments with Boban. He's one of my favorite people.
Yeah.
He's just an interesting dude.
Yeah, and he killed dudes.
He did.
And got killed.
And he got killed by a book.
Yeah, John Wick.
That was a great way to die.
He'd do that.
Like, if you're doing one of those movies, you 100% have to be like, look, if I'm going to do this and I'm going to die,
mm-hmm.
I need to go out in a very cool way. Getting your neck broken by an ancient book, mwah, love it.
I don't think that's a great way to go at all.
It's not like, you know, something stupid.
Yeah.
It was very Jason Bourne-y.
Mm-hmm.
I like that about it. It was fun. So this guy, they just have an anonymous pseudonym for his name. Those caps that are under the chromosomes, they're called telomeres. They're protective structures on the end of the chromosomes that prevent them from unraveling or getting entwined with each other. They said that think of them like caps on the end of your shoelaces.
No cap.
There you go. That's exactly him. He has no cap.
Riz.
They said his telomeres are extremely short despite being in his early 30s, leading to a whole host of medical issues. Your cells either need to stop dividing or die. So like that's like the crux of what he's dealing with. And because this situation is so rare, they're working to decide whether they're calling him Typo. That's his pseudonym he's going by. His condition is either
because his body typoed when they were.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Whether it's an autoimmune disease or a telomere biology disorder. But in the interim, the National Institute of Health has given him the opportunity to name it.
Oh.
So did they do the same thing for Lou Gehrig?
What are they called? Is they're called telomeres?
Yes.
Telling me I'm not a gonna die.
So, even better, his first thought was Ligma.
That is fantastic. At least Ligma, Typo's got a good sense of humor on him.
He said Ligma was a perfect fit, but I wondered if it was too low effort. The doctor initially spoke to about it didn't get it.
Perfect. But even better.
Suggestions came flooding into the group chat, which included BOFA and Shrek Swamp Disease and the Benjamin Button Cancer Disease, or BBC.
Oh my goodness. At least he's got great friends. Like, I mean, honestly, I would be like, you know what? My friends are all right.
Mm-hmm.
My friends are all right. I would hope my friends would have, and it sounds like, and it appears this guy has got a very good sense of humor and personality, mm-hmm. and is handling and processing this. Well, actually, comedians don't process anything well, and they're very funny.
Yes.
But at least on the outward appearances, and it sounds like he's got good friends.
Also, other potential names outside of Ligma and the other one that I mentioned, Super AIDS, Cancer 2, and instead of Lupus, Fupus.
Golly. Could you imagine going to
his
a person?
His group chat has to have a military member in it. There is no way it doesn't.
Could you imagine going to a learned doctor,
mm-hmm.
who probably went to a very, very good school to mm-hmm. be dealing with him,
mm-hmm.
and being like, what do you think of super AIDS?
Mm.
They're like,
what?
This is not autoimmune.
Well, that's
at
the
all.
Thing is, it might be.
But they don't know.
Yeah. But it's like, so it's on the table.
Is it on the table? I don't know. What do you think of Ligma? I don't know what that means.
Well, how about Bofa?
Don't. Mm. Nick Saban would be a fan of that.
Mm-hmm.
Those are his favorite jokes.
Favorite jokes.
Are Bofa and D's.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
D's not being on the list is kind of surprising.
What do you got? D's disease?
Mm.
That's not good.
Mm.
Bofa disease? Bofa disease?
Mm. Both of what diseases? I just saw this yesterday.
Golly.
I was like, I have to talk about this. This is fantastic. Like, this is the way you process this.
Mm. I'm glad my joke at the beginning of this was the least offensive of any of them.
Oh, yeah. This is a sign you have great friends.
No doubt.
That is what this is. Not, oh, man, I'm so sorry for you. Not like endlessly hitting you with crippling names for the disease that is overtaking your body.
But you know that there's one guy in the group chat who is sitting there reading it like, oh, my God. What are they actually saying to typo? What are they actually saying to typo? Like, this is so, and it's just nonstop. Just, nope, we are going to just push right through it. And if you're uncomfortable, leave the chat.
I'm a little bummed that they just stopped at cancer too and didn't also tack on the oncology boogaloo.
Mm. Ooh, yeah. That's a good one.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. That's a deep cut. I like that. I've told my wife that if something ever happens to me, you know the password to my phone. You can go through it. The group chat next to your name in my phone, delete it. Just delete it.
Yeah, just get rid of all of it.
If you want to read through anything else, go ahead.
Yeah, my neighbor Boring Gary sent me the little Instagram reel of these dudes sitting on Heaven's Gate and said, we're going to be waiting here for a while after
the audit.
They have to go through my group chat. It's like,
She looked
Can
at me.
Can you check this now?
She looked at me and I was like, don't worry. There's nothing about you in there that is untoward. But the things that we talk about in there.
Yeah.
Don't.
Yeah, you don't want to remember me that way.
You don't. Like, this is the most infantile, childish, over-the-top ridiculousness from not just me, but the other 12 people in this. This is not a place you want to venture into.
Yeah, you have a tendency to push through social cues as it is.
Oh, God, yeah.
I can imagine what it's like in a group
chat. And I'm not the worst offender in there. Not even close.
That's what the worst offender would say.
No. I mean,
isn't that what the worst offender would say, Russ?
I'm not the worst.
It's like,
look, I'm in the upper third. I am not the worst offender. There are two very distinct people in my life that are so much worse than me. Will not go there. Nope. No. Again, two of my absolute best friends in life, but
see,
I'm a line stepper. There is no line. There is no line for these two.
I think you're selling yourself short with just calling yourself a line stepper. A
habitual line crosser?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, stepping is I put a foot over and then I come back.
I'd bring it back.
You tend to stumble over that line and then just take everything out on the other side of the line.
I mean, it happens. It happens. All right, coming up next, Local Guy Does Good on Danny and Dusty, 1080 The Fan. Local Guy Does Good as Peyton Pritchard, West Lynn's own, straight out of West Lynn.
Yep.
Wins sixth man of the year in overwhelming fashion. This was over immediately. Honestly, I was surprised that it was this overwhelming. From the guys that I talked to, it definitely sounded like Pritchard was going to win, but it sounded like Ty Jerome was going to be a lot closer, and it was not close at all.
No. Peyton Pritchard ran away with the sixth man of the year. And to kind of put it into perspective, he picked up 82 first place votes. The next closest was Malik Beasley with 13.
Which, again, Beasley's been incredible for the Pistons this year.
Ty Jerome had two, along with DeAndre Hunter.
And I was like, well, he split some of the points off, but even I think Ty Jerome had 91 total points, and Hunter had like 30-something?
33.
Even if you gave every single DeAndre Hunter point to Ty Jerome, he's not even catching Malik Beasley.
No, he's third in by a mile.
I was really struggling to understand why Ty Jerome finished behind Malik Beasley.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think that was just like Cleveland, like Detroit's this fun story. And so you're like, oh yeah, Malik Beasley, or Cleveland is just quietly had the second best record in the league.
Well, and but you also have to put into perspective, though, what Malik Beasley did after, you know, going the situation that he was in. Remember, he was a guy that there was this refusal to come off the bench, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was promised a starting spot
in Milwaukee,
and he played as a starter in 77 games, and then it didn't work. He ends up in Detroit, and he goes back to being a bench player again. He went from 77 starts a year ago to 18 this year, plays in all 82. And the story of the Pistons is also a great story because that's a veteran who walked into a very young team and was a spark that they needed off the bench. Like, that's a tough thing for a veteran to do, especially when you get that chance to be the starter and then you come off the bench. I can see probably the story of Malik Beasley winning out with some of the voters. But Pritchard was far and away the runaway winner of this award, and rightfully so. When you lead all bench players in scoring, you dropped 246 threes this season. Like, Peyton Pritchard was dynamite.
So it was 14-4-4 on the season for Pritchard. Yep. 14 points, 4 boards, 4 assists, just kind of giving him the roundup. For Ty Jerome, it was 13-4-3. Really, the difference is in efficiency. Ty Jerome shot 52-44-87. That's insane.
Yeah.
That's again, Pritchard was good. I believe he finished 47-40. Was it 47-40-85?
Yeah.
So again, like, which one do you like?
Well,
and
it
was Peyton Pritchard. And I was like, again, I'm not against it.
Yeah.
I think he was really good this year. I just thought this would be a lot closer.
No, it wasn't. I'm happy for Peyton Pritchard, man. Everything that he has done, I didn't expect him to be this kind of player in the NBA.
No.
He was going to be a guy that I thought was going to be on a team for a long time, but he is
an impact player
off of the bench. Mm-hmm. And this has kind of been the story of Peyton Pritchard, being the guy who was local kid who used to work out with the Nike Hoop Summit teams, and then all of a sudden, he was working over some of the best high school players in the world.
He showed up at the Portland Generals his junior year and was a dude.
The Portland Generals are the team that scrimmages the world team in the Nike Hoop Summit.
Mm-hmm.
And there were USA Basketball people like, who is this kid?
Mm-hmm.
And he ended up being the point guard for Team USA in the Nike Hoop Summit. And then goes on to Oregon, has a phenomenal career, mm-hmm. goes to a Final Four, and ends up in the NBA, where he's making an impact on the reigning world champions.
And I think this isn't excuse my evaluation of him, because I thought he'd be a fringe NBA guy.
Yeah.
Just his size is such a difficult thing to conquer. I think he's listed at 6'1". He's not. It's fine. But his work ethic is incredible.
Yeah.
Always has been, always will. Like, he is a guy who literally pays people to come play him.
This is pretty good.
Like, it's a legitimate thing that he does. Like, he'll pay like top college players to come out and scrimmage against him. Bigger,
yeah.
Stronger, more athletic, younger dudes, just so it tests him. But I think that the biggest part of his career, and this is not to take away from, do not take that as in consideration, because but this matters. He went to a team where he was a hand in glove fit, where he has 8 dudes on the roster.
Oh, every sixth man is that, you know?
It's the perfect fit for him, where it covers up for his size deficiencies. Boston's huge. You can put him out there in 8 different variations of having 4, 5, 6, 8 plus dudes that can cover up for his lack of size. And because of here's his elite skill is his shooting, but is also his ability to get where he needs to get off the bounce.
Yeah.
You want to talk about guys with a handle? Peyton Pritchard's handle is one of the best in the league.
Yeah.
Like, that's like when you talk about guys like coming into the draft here this year, you've got a guy like Boogie Fland who's undersized. His handle's pretty good. It's not as good as Peyton Pritchard's. And I think he's going to be able to shoot it, but he was inconsistent in college in his 1 year. But he's the best point of attack defender in the NBA. When you are 6'2 or smaller, you have to have a skill that is off the charts good. And Peyton Pritchard has 2. It's his handle and it's his shooting.
Yeah. The text on the fan text line, was Peyton Pritchard left on left off of any ballots? The answer to that is no. He was the only player that was on every ballot. Malik Beasley, he was on 95 ballots, and Ty Jerome was on 59 ballots. So Malik Beasley left off of five. Ty Jerome left off of 41 ballots, not even top three.
That's so surprising to me.
Yeah.
So, all right, coming up next in hour number three, we're going to get back to the NBA playoffs and the futures of a couple teams up for grabs. Danny Dusty, 10 of the Fan.